Oh, man, I just lost a chunk of my nest egg in the market whipsaw.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Looks like I'll be wearing a yellow apron well into my 70s. Welcome to Wall...
Hey, don't get down. Get educated. Listen to the Total Financial Hour with host Arif Halaby Sundays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
What did you learn?
How not to go backwards with the market, my friend, and have the opportunity to move forward with market growth.
That's exactly what I need.
So learn about your financial power with the Total Financial Hour, Sundays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on AM 870, The Answer.
The Total Financial Hour is sponsored by TFS Financial Insurance Services and Total Financial Solutions, Inc.
The information on this show is not intended to be the primary basis for investment decisions and should not be used to provide financial advice. Please obtain the guidance of a financial professional regarding your particular financial concerns. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This program reflects the views of Arif Halaby, California Insurance License 0B93792 of TFS Financial Insurance Services. TFS Financial Insurance Services, California Insurance License Number 0F22477, provides retirement income strategies using insurance and annuity products, which are guaranteed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Arif Halaby, the Total Financial Hour. Your place for news, talk, and information. 888-997-3847. 888-99-RETIRE. Top of the hour next. I have, at the next hour, special guest calling in. Wait till you hear. I think you might find it actually quite fascinating. However, every week, normally, I read your emails. So let me give you the email address, too, since your pen is out, handy, ready to go. Nobody uses a pencil anymore, do they? I don't know. 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. And the email address, Arif, A-R-I-F, Arif, A-R-I-F, at tfswealth.com. T as in total, F as in financial, S as in solutions. So tfswealth.com. Okay. I want to get to a couple of things for you. First of all, you saw some of the news this week, right? The joke of a State of the Union. I want to give you my analysis as much as probably many of you didn't watch it. I don't blame you. I watch most of it. I watched most of it. Sometimes it's hard, right? I mean, the left wing is, and the Democrats are so full of baloney that it is difficult, right? It's almost like when you have a three-year-old walking around and she's as adorable as you can see, and she's wearing her pink tutu and her crown, and you guys go to the grocery store. We had one of those. You go to the grocery store, she's wearing the mismatched socks. That's as cute as can be, but not when she's 33. Now she's 33 wearing a pink tutu, mixed socks, right? When I was in the police department, we would have gotten a call. Hey, this lady, I don't think she has any money. She's got, okay, listen, is she doing anything wrong? I don't know, your officer. She's just making noise and distract. Okay. Right? A three-year-old can walk up and down the aisles and sing songs. No problem. People think it's cute. 33-year-old walk up and down the aisle singing songs, wearing mixed match socks and a pink tutu. And most people will react slightly different. Would you agree? Of course. I hope. So what do you have? You have the Democrats standing up and screaming and yelling about things that are just so bizarre. I mean, honest to goodness, so bizarre. 72 different countries have come across just in the last week. We only have one that's on our southern border. If you're seeking asylum, you come to the closest country that is safe, right? If it's Rwanda, you go to the closest country. You don't come to the United States. If it's the Philippines, you go to the closest country. You don't come to the United States, right? You understand? So why does the Democrats, the left wing, why do they do this? I don't really know, but I can give you my analysis of the State of the Union. Okay, here we go. And then I want to get to, at the bottom of the hour, some of the things, this is pretty important, different costs that I am finding that are impacting baby boomers' inheritance for the next generations. Okay, so a few different costs that I want to go over that I've found in the last few weeks. Okay, number one, the left wing focuses on words, not actions. Right, if you're not sure if you or your family are left wing, do they focus on words? Do they focus on actions? That means feelings versus results. The left wing focuses on feelings. That's why if you listen to the State of the Union, you get all of these words that mean nothing. But if I say that with an angry tone, I furrow my brow, stomp the floor or the podium with my fist, you must know that I am serious. And I am way more serious. Why? Because I raised my voice and I yelled. They redefine meanings. The left wing is redefining meanings. Gender. State of California, 70 different genders you can put on your driver's licenses. 70. Even if you were a traditional Democrat, somewhere, I don't know what, after 3 or 5, you might say, okay, now we're getting a bit silly. Right? It's not the 4-year-old, 3-year-old. Right. If your 3-year-old turns into 4 years old and she wears a pink tutu and sings, you're not going to say, hey, listen, your life is 30%, 33% greater in experience on this earth. You went from 3 years to 4 years old. That 1 year is 33% more than your normal life. You should have more experience. We don't do that. We look at the cute little 4-year-old and we just say she's 4 years old. But when you have a grown man who can barely stand up, or you have college kids who don't tie a shoe, who don't wash their clothes, they redefine meanings because it's about feelings. That's why there are cry rooms in universities. Did you know that? With coloring books, stuffed animals, places you can take naps. At the college, at the university, at a time when your energy level should be off the charts. Where usually, at least in past generations, you would just sleep 4 hours a day. You would cram course, study. You would sleep in on one day of the week, Saturday, Sunday. You would work your tail off all night. You would party all night. Forget about workout. Party all night. Remember those days? Not anymore. What do conservatives do? Conservatives reiterate the best of the past, and they want to repeat it. Left wing redefines words. Sometimes they create new words, right? A lot of these new words are created. You're like, what does that mean? What do you mean? You never heard of this? Right? You've never heard of cisgender. No, I haven't. Recreate grammar. I told you about the time I took my dog to the vet or to the pet store. And the young kid with the dyed hair and the tattoos, forget it. Oh, Arif, I'm just giving you a description. If he was clean cut with a polo shirt, I would tell you that. And he sits there and he goes, hey, he said, they are so cute. What's their name? And I looked around left and I right. I said, there's only one dog here. Are you trying to change it's a singular word. They is plural. She has a little pink collar on. She has a pink little, it's a girl. I mean, you can make a mistake and say, what's her name? I say, oh no, it's the only one I could grab out of the closet. I grabbed the other dogs. Right? I would explain that. The left wants to redefine meanings, redefine words. Conservatives want to reiterate the best of the past. Here's something else I noticed. The left wing is outraged over out of context words in order to get a result. President Trump said everybody at the Charlottesville were good people. One side is completely good. And he was talking about the racist and the KKK. I heard that and I went, whoa. Let me double check that. So I went and pulled up the actual audio. And that isn't what he said. Did you know that? Some of you are still thinking he said that and he meant something. He didn't say that. He said, there are good people on both sides, but I am not including the racists, the KKKs. I'm talking about normal people that believe one way and normal people can believe another way. Is that incredible? Where Hillary Clinton would say the deplorables and refer to everybody. That is exactly what she said. Everybody. Watch her. Watch his, Mr. Biden. Listen, I'm not saying Trump doesn't say dumb things. Of course he does. He even tweets pretty mean things, actually. Things I wouldn't do, things I wouldn't want my mom to see me doing. I get it. But then just be truthful about it. The left wing, Democrats, today's Democrats, not regular Democrats like a Robert Kennedy Jr. You realize he would never be allowed. In fact, do you notice Tulsi Gabbard, not allowed in the Democrat Party. RFK Jr., not allowed in the Democrat Party. They are Democrats, but of the old school Democrats, not the crazies today. Outrage over out of context words to get a result. There's your left wing. Conservatives, they're sound and stable with less emotion. They are. They're the logical ones in the story. No, no, no. Here's what I mean. Let's go chapter and verse. Here it is. Oh. If you scream louder, you must be right. All you have to do is be married or have children. You know, when you start screaming or they start screaming, it's not because you're more right. Like I was a little right, now I'm more right. I'm a little more correct, a little less correct, because I'm softer with my voices. No, no, no. All right, sound and stable, less emotions. That's the conservative actions. All right, here's another one. This is pretty interesting. In fact, last night I was with somebody and we were talking about this. The left wing, and they're from a different country, by the way. That's pretty fascinating to me, because it's the same. It's the same. Left wing, angry and always against something. Always against something. Anti this, anti that. Like, wow, what are we angry about this week? And it's never changed. The left wing has always been angry about something. And sometimes it's right to be angry, of course. But you should dabble in every once in a while some things that you are for. Conservatives right now are happier. This is statistics. These are actually reports, studies out of Dennis Prager brings them up all the time. I've looked at them. Happy and grateful for things. Happy and grateful for life. That's generally conservatives. Happy and grateful. Not always. But they are for more things than they are against. And by the way, guys, I'm not saying, hey, listen, if we're losing and we're doing things this way, we may have to change. At least some things. I don't know. You got to figure out your life. Left wing Democrats today, angry and always against something. Conservatives, happy and grateful for things, for things, not against. All right, here's my last one that I want to bring up. I think this is fascinating. Again, the left wing, they stomp their foot like a two-year-old in a store. That's not what they want. They stomp their foot, scream and yell, lay on the floor. You don't think I'm right? Look at the reaction when Donald Trump won. Look at the reaction of 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 25-year-olds. Look at the reaction. Screaming and yelling. Look at the reaction when President Obama won. What did conservatives do? They were sad. There were tears. Not this outrageous screaming and yelling and falling on the floor. No kidding. Go to Rumble. You can figure it out. What are conservatives? When it comes to emotion, they are not stomping their foot, screaming and yelling like a two-year-old in the middle of aisle four in the grocery store. They're generally stable. Based on Constitution or Bible or the Torah. In fact, my Muslim conservatives love this country and believe it's the only righteous country, they can practice true Islam, true Muslim, their Muslim faith. Why? They say it for a couple of reasons. Number one, they say it because President Trump and others never disallowed them to practice. Now you go, but nobody disallowed them to practice. No, no, George Bush too put spies in the mosques. Did you know that? The FBI. What did Joe Biden do? He put spies in Catholic churches. Joe Biden's FBI, Merrick Garland, the head of the Department of Justice, put spies inside of Catholic churches. PTA meetings. We know now, based on some of the released reports, at least 40, that's 40, FBI informants were part of the January 6th crowd. We now know, based on where they were located, many of them were the first ones in the Capitol. We now know that at least one of them, already on television and publicized, was an FBI informant slash maybe employee that was the one ginning up the crowd to go into the Capitol. We know this. Do you not understand the difference? President Trump never did that. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Conservatives are stable based on something. Constitution, Bill of Rights, Bible. Left wing, scream and yell about something. They're always against something. And now what are we seeing? They use the power of the law, the government. The same government that in the 1975 world, the left wing was against. They were against the Nixon administration. They were even against the Johnson administration. And the way that they had surveillance, the way they went after the Communist Party, the way they went after what they would call subversive groups. College campuses. Isn't that interesting? They learned a long time ago, the left wing. Permeate the education system. And be patient. You see, the Communist Party has 50, in China, they have a 50-year plan. We don't even have a budget that lasts for 8 weeks before we have to do it again. They pass their budgets on five-year increments. They have five-year plans. Like, this is what we want to do for the next 5 years. The United States, truly something we can fix. But who's going to get all the goodies? Right? Somebody. Somebody's got to get the goodies. And you don't really give out goodies when you have a five-year plan or when you're sticking to a plan or when there's accountability. I remember when I was in college and I was learning at a business class and I was learning about the Japanese business structure, right? At the time, in the mid-80s, we were fawning over it. We thought it was one of the best overall business structures. Even today, there's still classes in Pepperdine and other places in UCLA where they do trade-offs. In other words, they send people there to learn about the Japanese business model. Basically, here's what it is. We give you a budget. If you spend it all, you get less next year. If you spend less of it, in other words, you have some left over, you get more next year. You see, because in Japanese business, it's about efficiencies. Here, the United States government and companies, June 30th, the end of fiscal year, they're trying to spend more money. Every department is trying to spend any last dime in any corner of their budget. They'll buy 100 of something even though they don't need it. Look at warehouses across this nation that are filled with stuff. They call it surplus stuff. Because if they don't spend it all, that department gets less next year, not more. See the difference in the model? Look, there's a lot of things wrong and right with both. I'm trying to address this one part with you so you can have an understanding how the left wing will use the money of government, right? When they are in positions of power of government, then they like it. Then they go after President Trump. Is this amazing? You have the far left, George Soros and his son now. Far left. Even good on, listen, there's plenty of good and honest people on both sides of the aisle, and there's ugly, mean people on both sides of the aisle, right? It's the ones that have the power that pull the levers that matter because they make a difference. You see, if I'm part of the power and the structure on one side, I can get you mad about something. Why do you think we have had massive layoffs? Arif, what does that have to do with the left wing? Very simply, when you don't manage your company properly, who do you lay off? Executives or workers? That's right. When you don't manage your company properly, who do you lay off? Union workers or management? That's right. When you take a look at the bloated LA Unified School District, wonderful human beings inside of it, bloated and disgusting and corrupt as an organization, just to be clear. Oh, Department of Water and Power, amazing, good human beings that work there, bloated, disgusting, and corrupt. You can't continue to charge people money that have a full solar system, that have one or two people living there, and then you charge them a fee when you promised them if they had X amount of solar panels, they wouldn't pay a fee. So you know what they did? They went out and got 2X. So they would never pay a fee. They got 1.5 times what you said they needed. And you still charge them hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars a year. Because you're bloated and corrupt. It's not a secret. Right? I mean, you see it across the country. Kathy Hochul, Gretchen Whitmer. Right now in history, the powerful that are corrupt are Democrats. It's just the way it is. Go back and be a student of history more than 15 minutes ago, and what will you find? Probably in the 50s, it would have been overwhelming the Republicans. Why do you think Eisenhower left office and left a scathing last speech upon his exit against his own party and what he called the military-industrial complex? Because he saw what was going on. 50s, maybe even 60s. It was the Republicans that were corrupt. I mean, you understand this. At this moment in history, it's the Democrat Party. Especially in the state of California, this is fascinating to me. Guess who won? Wait for it. During this last election. I mean, of course, this is a primary. But did any of the corrupt Democrat congressmen and women, did any of them lose their seat? No, they didn't. And if they ask for money, all these propositions, it's for the children and for old people and children and veterans. We don't like veterans much today, so we're not doing anything about veterans or law enforcement. So we're not talking about them. But it's for the children. We like children, still children. And old people, because you vote. So we like old people and children. We might throw parks now and again. It's for parks and old people and children. Nurses, we still like nurses. Do you understand how they do it? Watch any of the Sunday shows. Watch any of the news broadcasts. And if you see a Democrat spokesman or a spokeswoman, and they're talking about the Republicans that didn't pass in Congress, that didn't pass this bill that was, quote, for border security, they are ignorant or they are lying, because only about 30% of it was for border security. The rest was for Ukraine. Do you know that? Ukraine still has $100 billion that has not been spent. And then they passed another bill to add more money to Ukraine, but they changed the name and they called it, it's a border bill. And it had 20 or 30% of actual dollars for the border. The rest was for Ukraine and other pet projects. Billions of dollars for more, billions more for Ukraine. So when you watch any of the news and you see a commentary by a Democrat strategist and they say that the border bill was not passed by Republicans, now you know how dishonest they are. You have to know this. Oh, Air, if it's politics, don't whitewash it. A lot of things are politics. Bold-faced dishonesty like this in your face? I disagree. Stay with me after the break. Arif Halaby, that's me. Total Financial Hour. Still on USA Free Radio Network called AM 870. The Answer, that's me. Arif Halaby, 888-99-RETIRE. The Total Financial Hour. Stay with me right after the break. We'll be right back.
Retire comfortably, thanks to Arif Halaby. Now every dollar's got a job to do. Arif makes your money work for you. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about
welcome back to the show. Power, Total Financial Total Hour. 888-99-RETIRE. 888-99-RETIRE. Talking about your family's finances, of course, getting out of debt, managing money, planning for the future. Give you a couple of ideas, guys. You know, we looked at the recent results on the election. And, you know, when I talk about some of the incumbents winning, can you believe Maxine Waters, who doesn't even live in the district? She represents a poor district and she lives in a multi-million dollar fenced gated house. She doesn't even live in the district. I mean, do you understand how crazy this is? At least go there, spend time, spend a weekend, right? At least the Boy Scouts will go camping for 2 or 3 days. They don't have to live in the wilderness to understand the wilderness. If you're Maxine Waters, at least live in the neighborhood so you can understand the neighborhood, right? I mean, it doesn't mean if I spend 3 days in France, I'm going to speak French and I understand the French, but it does mean that at least I've been there. She won't even spend the night there. Is that weird? I don't know. It goes to show you that elections in the state of California are broken. Republicans can never win again. That's why I bring up, look, the Republican Party in the state of California is worthless. There's some nice people, very nice people, of course, that are Republicans, friends of mine. There are conservatives. I get it. But the party is dead. Maybe you can resuscitate it. I don't see anybody doing mouth to mouth or doing the shocking clear, clear. Don't see it. Nothing's happening with the state of California. It's a flat line because it's a corrupt system. And partly because, look, when I talk about, let me go back to this because this is important. When I talk about the left wing is uses words versus actions. Right? Do you understand when conservatives do something, it doesn't get the press because the media is left wing. I told you when a friend of mine was a state legislature, conservative, drew up a bill, spent a lot of time on it, researching, had his team research, drew up an amazing bill. But because he was in the minority, the leader of the body, of the part of the house, if you will, the representatives, the state, the part of that, the leader took it from them. Here, this is kind of what they did. They took out his name. And they said, oh, hey, Mary, come here. You're running in a tough election. I'm going to put your name on it. She goes, what is it? Well, it's this thing that has your name on it. And it's a bill and it's really good. We think it's going to help people. But you're in a tough election, so we're going to do this so you can put it on that, hey, I was sponsored this bill. Okay. So what does my friend do? What does he care about? He cares about actions. So I said, hey, aren't you going to do something about this? Why don't you go to the media? You can jump on my radio show. No, listen, I want it. It's for the people. I want it to get done. And if I make a lot of waves, they're not going to do it. I want it to get done. Do you understand? Conservatives want to do. They want to get it done. The left wing words. So I thought it was interesting. So when I say that the Republican Party is dead in the state of California, and partly because people don't respond to dues, especially when any do that gets a result, the left wing has the power to cover up who gets the credit for it. Surprise. Who gets the credit? The ones that yell the loudest. Who gets the toy? The child that cries the loudest on aisle four. Now you might say, Eric, if not in a household, I get it, right? Look, a lot of us were disciplined. Many of you let your kid, you know, scream and yell on the floor and walked away. And then they came running and they probably didn't do it often again. Right? We did it. I'm not eating my dinner. Scream and yell, throw it off the table. That's what we're having for dinner. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It means you don't get to eat tonight. That's good parenting. Oh, but they're going to be hungry. Yes, they will for one night. There are kids in countless countries that are hungry for more than one night. Your little child can afford one day. And their behavior changes. The next night, they go, I don't like going to bed hungry. I'm going to eat. But you see, you can't do that to the people in the state of California or in the U.S. Population. You just can't. Because once you do that and you say, listen, you have to pay your student loans back. Stomp foot, scream, yell. You don't understand. It's not fair. All right. Fine. We're going to waive student loans. We're going to stop. Okay, great. We're going to put it on pause. I get COVID. Got it. Lockdowns. So they pause them. 2 years, 3 years go by. Okay, guys, we're going to have to start the student loan thing again. Stomp foot, scream, yell. We don't have the money. Well, what do you mean you don't have the money? You've been back to work. You were supposed to have budgeted for that $300 extra a month. You knew that student loans, you were paying them before. It's not news. Yes, you got a year, but at any time they could have restarted it. You fortunately had 2 or 3 years without paying for your student loan. I get it. It stinks. But now I want to explain to you why it matters. And this is back to the conservatives' side of things. The actions versus words. And now the logic part. Right? You understand this? Stable, based on laws, constitution, Bibles. Sound, stable, less emotion. Results oriented. Here it is. When you have $100, we're just going to use $100 because most of us can understand 100 or 100%. When you have $100, and I took a portion of it, the $100 is the U.S. economy, and I took a portion of that and I gave it to you for student loan debt. And then you went to work, you went to school, finished, then went to work. And then whatever the agreement is, a month or 6 months or 2 years afterwards, you start paying it back. The $100 didn't really change. Right? Because we took it out and we put it back. It's the same. However, when you take student loan debt, that is $100, sorry, the U.S. economy, that's $100, and we took out your student loan debt. And then we say, oh, you don't have to pay it back. Guess what happened to that money? It didn't disappear. We had to make more of it. So now there's $110 in order to satisfy the debt that you were supposed to take from your income and pay off. Instead of taking it from your income, it went into the bucket. Now, if we wanted to stay at the same amount and not have an inflationary system where we have to keep growing the money supply, then you go back to the college or the university, to the school, the trade school, whatever it is, and you say, listen, administrator, we're going to forgive $1,000 for every student that went here. You guys have to give up $500. we'll give up 500. You realize as a conservative, I would be willing to compromise. I still think it's wrong, but it's closer to right. It is now in the gray zone versus black and white. You understand? Because I'm going to say, hey, school, you guys gave a product that stinks. Nobody got it. The people aren't winning. You sold them a product, a degree in political studies or women, black studies of East Africa. No, that's nice. They're not making any money. You lied to them and said it was a good degree. You taught them classes and said it was going to make a difference. And if they wanted to spend their own money, fantastic. Wait a second. You're spending taxpayers' money, my money, your money. They have borrowed money for a hobby? I got a couple of hobbies that you guys can send me money on. So if we went back to the colleges and we said, listen, it turns out, hey, Mrs. Jones, I'm sorry, President Jones, Chancellor Jones, turns out your product was crummy. It stinks. So you're going to have to give up. Well, we're going to take some from your 401k or your pension. We're going to take some from the budget, from your annual pay, from somewhere, and from all of her professors, the student that was there, all of her professors have to give up something. Because you see, they had zero risk in the game. In fact, like many professors don't even show up. You realize that they don't even show up to school. It's the PhD students or the master's students that teach, usually after the first day and towards the end of the year, the professor returns. Other than that, it's generally rare to see a professor in the class. So we go, hey, professor, listen, I get the whole tenure thing. Turns out you gave a crummy product. You got to give it back. Right? You guys have seen recalls on baby seats, recalls on peanut butter, recalls on car seat belts. Why isn't there a recall on college degrees? Somebody's got to pay that money back. You expect me to do it? I mean, come on. Listen, I'll do it. But so will the school. I'll go to the gray zone. Right? Remember, I'm a conservative. I try to do what's right. I use the Constitution, the Bible, not in that order. You can do whatever you want, whichever guideline you want, your feelings, the universe, people do all sorts of things. Mine says this is what's right. So maybe, just maybe, there's something wrong with the government system. So this is how they do it. Stomp your foot, scream and yell, be a college student, and you get your way. Pretty scary, isn't it? That can control an entire government. Well, listen, the left wing has been controlling elementary schools and then junior high and then high schools and colleges. And now those folks are back in as administrators, professors, congressmen and women, government employees, state employees, right? Civil servants that don't go anywhere for 35 years. So when you dribble and dabble those people amongst the system, you end up with the far left thinking being called normal. How do I know that? Because regular old day, right? John F. Kennedy, even Bill Clinton, quote, normal thinking gets you kicked out of the party. Do you realize that? That's Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Lieberman. You understand these people, Robert Kennedy, ready for this? It starts with a K. Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy. Basically kicked out of the party. Kicked out of debates, kicked out of any public forum. Publicly shamed and discredited amongst left-wing media. Do you know that? Is that wild? There's a lot of others too. Even Senator Sinema out of Arizona, she saw the writing on the wall. She's come back to the center. But to the center where she is still left, far left. but she's not far enough. So she leaves the party because she's not welcome in the Democrat Party anymore. I mean, you understand this? It's crazy. If we had, you know, the far right party and then the far, far right party, I would be right here telling you this same thing. Hey, listen, conservatives back in 2023, 24, they were normal people. Now we're far, far, far right. It's crazy. Right? I would say that. Oh, they're manipulating elections all over the place. Right? You'll know that something's fishy in Hollywood. What do they say? Something's fishy in Denmark. I wonder where that saying came from. If you start to see that conservatives are winning left and right in the whole state of California, better yet, the city of San Francisco or the city of Los Angeles, then you go, what? Aliens came down. Because the only way to fix the state of California, number one, the Republican Party's done. I told you that. We need a new party. You have to have a new party. You have to start from the ground up. Not easy. Get some of the resources of the old Republican Party, but really you just have to create one from the ground up. Jim Brulte, probably a nice guy. I met him a few times. Whether or not he remembers, I doubt it. His speech, one of his speeches in a small group, or discussions rather, in a small group that I was a part of, was bragging about how he brought the Republican Party in the state of California out of debt. Like that was a goal. Woo, we're back at zero. Okay, I get it. You have to pass, when you're negative, you have to pass zero to go positive. I understand. But that's not the goal. The goal wasn't to get back to zero because when you reach it, it's done. The goal should have been to win the governorship and a majority in the House, the Assembly, right? A majority in the state Senate. That should be the goal. So the problem is this. There isn't leadership in the state. Because every time you try to poke your head up, even when you try to play by the left-wing game, right? Ready for this? You try to play by the left-wing game. Larry Elder, male black, comes from a struggling working-class family in downtown Los Angeles. Business owner dad, business owner or mom, stay-at-home mom. Struggling family, on and on. And he tries to run, what do they call him? The black face of white supremacy. And that son of a gun reporter still has their job. Do you understand? That's insane. Right? Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas. You put a minority in the head of judicial systems in the United States. And they still will go after him. And you know who went after him? You know the racist, go back and watch Joe Biden's interview of Clarence Thomas and the Anita Hill. Go back and watch that. Then you will know who the true racist is. It's shocking to watch. I saw it recently. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the? Go back and watch Joe Biden talk about poor kids and white kids. Yeah, that's the words he used. I mean, do you understand this? So the left wing doesn't care about racist or not racist. They care about power. They will use anybody, including a former Klans member, to be head of the Democrat Party in the state of, I want to say, South Carolina. Could be North Carolina. You understand that? They don't care about race. They care about power. That's why they stomp their foot. They want to be loud and scream. They don't want results. All right, grab your pen and paper. I'm going to give you a couple things. 888-997-3847. 888-99-RETIRE. 888-99-RETIRE. Okay, here are some of the costs that I'm finding. And this week we saw it impacted in a couple of folks. And remember this. Hey, guys, also at the top of the hour, I have a guest coming on, Old Glory Bank president. the president of Old Glory Bank. Interesting. I'm going to cover it with you when we come back after the top of the hour. What I think is powerful and why we have him on. All right. Continuing, some costs that baby boomers are finding that, believe it or not, are impacting their inheritance for later generations. Number one, it's healthcare. It's healthcare. We had this recently where, I want to say he was in his late 80s, could have been early 90s. And he's the father of one of the one of our clients. And he had almost $2 million. I think it was the sale of a couple properties. And they were using it for his health care. His wife had passed many years earlier, before I knew them. And now the father started having memory issues in his late 80s, early 90s. And the kid said, listen, we don't care about any of this inheritance. It's designed to care for our parents. And in this case, just our dad. So they used the health care, the funds, to pay for the health care. They brought in full-time care into the house. They kind of did a bit of a remodel to one of the bathrooms downstairs. The upstairs was the caregiver. They put in a camera system, actually, to keep an eye and record. They had an audio system. I mean, they went high tech, just like any real assisted living care facility. But in this case, the father was familiar with the place, familiar with the backyard, the neighborhood, didn't want to leave his home. Could you blame him? Of course not. But the cost by the time they were done was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the full-time care for somebody in the house, remember, it's 24/7. And it was three different people that they had rotating through. One primary that was during the day when he was awake, then they had evening, and then they had weekend. So he really developed a relationship with the primary one during the week. But all the others were there. I mean, look, he was sleeping. Sometimes he'd wake up in the middle of the night and need something. That person was there. But it was tens of thousands of dollars by the time they were done per month in some cases. I think it was $15,000 to $20,000 a month is what they ended up paying. Because they had to bring in nurses, higher skilled care for a while. So my point is the healthcare and the long-term care ideas. And then when he passed at home. I guess it can be all that we ask for, right? With your family and your friends around. It's an honor for us to have been a part of the income stream for him, the reliable retirement income stream that he could have, that he could be cared for, and that we knew would never run out of money. That means it didn't matter if he spent it all, the income would still be coming. That's why we use insurance companies, fixed indexed annuities, fixed annuities. They are based on insurance companies. When you need, if you need that type of product, then you should be buying it for what reason? Because you want the guaranteed income streams, because you want to never go backwards, because you want reasonable rates of return. Not because you're trying to hit 13 or 15 or 12%, right? When Dave Ramsey came out recently and said, you should expect a 12% return and spend 10 and you should be fine. I'm like, oh, come on. Are you kidding me? Come on. I don't disagree with a whole lot of things that Dave says, but that was one of them. You can't do that. You can't buy a mutual fund. When things go down, ask Bob Brinker. Remember Money Talk? Money Talks? Government funds, government interest rates, government to buy Jennie Mae's, buy Jennie Mae's. Well, until 2008 and 9, people lost their shirt. They needed the money. So my point is, have diversification. Spread it out for money that you want safe and protected. If it has to be there, in this case, for the income stream for the healthcare, well, then great, it's there. Okay, that's the purpose. All right, here's a couple other things that we're finding. If your goal is to leave money to a church, a charity, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we have seen people go in to debt. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean debt? They're not buying fancy cars. They're not buying houses anymore. No, no, no. What they're doing is they're going into debt with some of these, I call them unscrupulous salespeople. They come to your house, we're going to remodel your bathroom with this sit-in bathtub. Okay, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to give you a sit-in bathtub. That's great. $25,000. but wait, it's just a bathtub. You're not remodeling the whole bathroom. You're not rechanging plumbing or nope. Or they come in and they give you solar and they sell you on this idea that solar is going to be the beginning and end of everything and replace all of your electric bill or eight. Nope. But now you're $40,000 or $50,000 in debt that you have to pay. You're 75 years old. Really, you think you're going to pay off that debt before you would have paid it off in electricity? And then finally, what we're seeing is other home improvements. I've seen some of these gypsy bandit type folks come along and unscrupulous construction people want to rebuild fences. We saw it after the earthquake. Retar your asphalt driveway. And now you're in debt for a product that is shoddy and has to be redone. You're a senior, you get help. Have a family member, relative with you whenever you're making these really serious financial decisions, okay? All right, stay with me. Michael is coming up at the top of the hour. Stay with me after the break. President of Old Glory Bank. I'm Eric Hallaby. We'll be back just after this break. You will see Mike Ring when we come back.
Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Me, Arif Hallaby, the 888-99-RETIRE. I always give it to you that way because it's easier to remember, especially if you're driving, your hands are on the steering wheel. You don't always have a pen handy. 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. Hey, you get a chance to always reach out. I love hearing from you. My email address, I want to hear your questions. Sometimes you guys are so kind and send thank you emails. Last week, I think, or last couple of weeks, I've read one of them, and I think it's nice to get those. I want you to know I don't always gush over them on the when I send a response. I'll usually say thank you for reaching out. It's very kind of you, something like that. But I want you to know behind the scenes in my mind, and it matters a lot to me. Making a difference in the world is an enormous responsibility. There are a lot of people that just kind of go along to get along. And I just made a decision a long time ago when I was able, I think I was 19 years old. I was a lifeguard. I had to save some kid's life who never said thank you. Never. I still remember that. It was 40 years ago. I still remember like it was yesterday. And never said thank you. But the moment I did that, I realized to myself, I want to be somebody that makes a difference. Because as he was struggling, there was other kids and other people around, and nobody jumped in to help. Maybe they all thought I was supposed to because I was wearing the red shorts. I don't know. But I just remembered that I wanted to be that person that made a difference, and that's why I joined the police department. Right? It wasn't my decision to leave. It was ultimately somebody crashed into my police car. You guys know the story. I got hit on the side and three knee surgeries later over the course of a few years. In the middle of that, I got scammed, got ripped off, had to start over financially, just about. So I said, I'm going to learn. I'm going to be an educated person. And I'm going to keep this from happening to other people. What's the reason that other people, like me, got taken? It's often because we didn't understand. It's often because, well, emotion, right? So here's what I did. I decided I was going to go back to school. And that's why you're here now, 30 years later, sitting in front of the radio, sitting, listening, I hope, intently, because I did a lot of the work and bring it to you and explain my points of view and what I have found with over, I think right around 12 or 13,000 people that have come into my office. Right. If you're a new financial professional and you've had 8 appointments or 27 people come into your office, your perspective, your point of view, it's going to be very little. It's not going to matter much. It doesn't mean you're bad or wrong. Certainly it's your perspective, but does it matter to other people? No, not really. But when you have experience, That's why I prefer to go to a doctor or an attorney that has a little gray hair, not the kid that still can't grow a beard. Right? I want somebody with some experience. And so fast forward, I said, one day, I want to own a bank. Yeah, you can go back to 2006 and 7, the folks that worked with me. Well, that didn't happen because 2008 comes along. And I want to share with you guys, you guys have heard me talk about Old Glory Bank. I've been a customer for probably well over a year, and I recently bought shares into Old Glory Bank. I am not telling you to do this. You have to check with your own professional advisors. I'm telling you what I did. I did my research. I came out that said this is the right thing for me to do because I think it stands for a lot more than just banking. So I asked someone to come on the air, explain what's going on with Old Glory Bank. His name is Michael Ring, or Mike Ring. He's the president and CEO of Old Glory Bank. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Eric. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. So let's see if we can turn up his mic just a little bit. So Mike Ring is the president of Old Glory Bank. Why this matters a lot, guys, is because Mike is somebody who I've done my research on and trust implicitly, but not just me, Mike. Tell me about who else might be owners of Old Glory Bank.
Got a few folks some of you might have heard about. Secretary Carson, John Rich, our mutual friend Larry Elder, Governor Fallon, two-term governor out of Oklahoma, and then probably 60 other friends and family that have joined together to do Old Glory Bank.
So Old Glory Bank, Mike, has a history. It calls itself a pro-American online bank. And, well, just in the first year, I guess you guys have grown to, what, over $100 million in assets? And you guys have members or customers in 50 states now.
We do. So the way we got a bank is we wanted to buy a bank with some history. And so we actually, the group got together and bought a bank in Oklahoma, Elmore City, Oklahoma. We wanted a state chartered bank in a reliably red state. And there's nothing more reliably red than Oklahoma, right up there with Florida and some other great states. And we bought, it was called First State Bank at the time in Elmore City, Oklahoma. It had 120 years old. And in that 120 years, it got to 220 customers and about $12 million in deposits. We bought the bank, got through regulatory approval, started opening accounts right about a year ago, and I think you're one of our first account holders. You're a founding member, and I want to thank you for that, Arif. And now, in just 1 year, opening online accounts across all 50 states, we're proud that we have 40,000 customer relationships and over $100 million in deposits.
You know, Mike, I heard Bill O'Reilly and some other folks, I think Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly, talking about Old Glory Bank before I even knew that Larry was involved. And so for me, I just wanted to be a customer. So that's what we did is I sent in my application and you guys said, listen, you kind of found out about us a little too soon. We're working on slowly bringing on customers so that the customer experience, once you become a customer, is clean and simple. And it's clear that exactly what options are available. If you're clicking on something, it's going to work. It's clear that when you send in a check, it's going to get a deposit. You guys created a fintech or financial tech type system. Tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, we like to use the term bank tech because I think fintechs have gotten kind of a rough rap lately. A lot of them are not real banks, and they've spiked and come down. I like to think of the fact that first and foremost, we're a bank, but we rely on technology. We realize, like many folks, that they really don't want to walk into a branch. You know, everyone loves seeing a smiling face and walking into a branch and saying hello. But the pandemic proved to us, and it's been reinforced, that people really want to do their banking online. So we basically created what I humbly say, and I say this all the time, and I always challenge people, if at any level bank you can find a front end, a customer front-end experience that's better than Old Glory Bank, please send me an email at mikering@oldglorybank.com and let me know because I haven't found it yet. So I think we have the best user interface for banking online. So we say, listen, it's great to have a branch, and we have a beautiful branch in Elmore City, but most people should bank on their phone, and their phone is always in their pocket. So therefore, your bank is always with you. But then if you think about what you can do on your phone, a couple obvious challenges. Of course, now it's very easy to deposit a check on your phone. You take a picture of it. Most banks can do that. But where we really found a friction point with our customers, and our customer we proudly serve, Middle America, is on cash deposits. As we started getting up and going, our customers would say, hey, listen, I love everything you guys stand for. I want a bank that values my values. But I have a little challenge switching my banking to you because I occasionally have cash and need to make a deposit. Of course, it's easy to make a withdrawal through one of our 40,000 free ATMs, but deposits are tough. So we went out, and I'm so proud of the tech team that we have, and they went out, and I challenged them early last year, right when we were getting up and going. I said, team, find a way to deposit cash for Middle America, and you can now walk in. It's called Old Glory Cash In, meaning put cash into your account. You walk into any Walmart, Walgreens, Dollar General, Love's or Pilot for our truckers, and you can deposit cash. It takes seconds, and your money's in your bank. And we really think we...
So what are you doing? Mike, tell me what... So am I going to... I haven't done this yet. So am I going into just the cash register as if I'm going to buy something and say, hey, I'd like to make a deposit?
100%. What happens is you select cash in on your app. You can't keep track of 85,000 locations where you can do this. You know, Chase Bank brags they have 5,000 locations. We now have 85,000, basically, partner locations that you can deposit cash. You find one in your app. You walk in. You go to the cash register like you're buying a soda. There's a barcode that pops up on your app. It's a 20-minute, one-time-use barcode. The cashier scans it. And your money is in your account in about 8 seconds. It's quicker than walking into a branch, and you don't even have to go to a branch now. And so it's worked so well. We launched it just before Christmas, and we've already had over $500,000 of people just around, you know, average deposits about $370. So we know we met our customers where they want to and how they want to bank.
So in other words, okay, good. So I see what I'm doing. So you know those little scanners, guys, what we're doing is walking up to the front desk or the front counter there, saying, hey, I'd like to buy this pack of gum, and I want to deposit $200 in my account. She scans it. She goes, okay, $205 for the bank, or for the $200 and for the gum. So I give her the $205. That's it.
So Biden inflation is so bad now, it's $5 for a pack of gum, Arif, where you live?
I got the mega pack. I'm trying to keep my math simple.
All right.
I got
And the retailers love it because now they have a customer that's coming in to buy the $5 pack of gum. Of course, at Walmart, it's less than that. And so
exactly.
It's really worked well for the customer and for the retailers and for Old Glory Bank.
Well, recently, Old Glory's announced that accredited investors can purchase restricted shares in the company. That's my understanding. How's that growing ownership in the bank benefit the average banking member?
So, you know, and I know this, you know, you've got a great financial show, and I don't want to, I want to stress like you always stress that investment in stock should be just a small portion of any portfolio. But for those folks who want to own a piece of Old Glory Bank, we've now done something, and I've coined the term public-private placement. I'm not sure if it's ever been used before, but I've, you know, as folks can look at our team bios on our website. I've got 30 years of being a corporate securities lawyer, so I felt like I knew how to do this for sure. But what it is there's a concept called a private placement that many people have heard of, have done private equity or have done private deals. This is stock that's not yet registered, and that's an important distinction. But normally, you never hear about those deals. Like, you know, many of normal middle Americans don't get access to the pre-IPO of Tesla or any of the great companies. And so we've, like everything we do, we try to break the mold a little bit. And that's what we're doing at Old Glory Bank, not only in our products and services, but also in ownership. We, from the day we've launched, we've had customer after customer say, we love your products. We love your service. We love what you stand for. As far as we can tell, you're the only bank that stands for America, the police, first responders, military, won't cancel someone for what they believe, and we won't. How can I have an ownership? And so after enough inquiries, I said, you know what? They're right. Today, Old Glory Bank is basically owned by folks like you, and I'm proud that you're an owner, and other friends and family that we've got to, about 60 of us. And I said, on this next raise, let's open it up to America. Now, as you correctly say, Arif, the way the rules work that the SEC put out for private placements as opposed to public registered stock, it limits who can buy, and that really does disappoint us because our minimum investment's only $1,776. And so theoretically should be available to anyone who had less than $2,000, but the law doesn't allow that. So it's just for accredited investors. But if you, again, I don't want to push a stock on your show because this is an informational show. But if anyone was interested just learning more about Old Glory Bank, please go to our website. You learn about our great banking services, and then there's a special section that you can learn about to become a potential owner.
Okay, Mike, all my listeners, they know about me. I share my story. I even shared it a little bit here in the opening about some of my background and how I got to be in the financial system services 28 years ago, I guess, 30 years ago. Tell us about your background in life before Old Glory Bank, and really what work or personal experience in banking did you have kind of geared towards this?
So I'm a middle America kid, went to public school, you know, like a lot of kids, was kind of a goofball, went to college part-time, realized I was not heading in the direction at the way I should, and thankfully stumbled into a recruiter's office and joined the Air Force. Spent 4+ years in the Air Force, and it really was a great experience and caused me to grow up. I then finished college part-time while I was in the Air Force. All my buddies were going out having fun, and I knocked through college and then was able to go to law school and thankfully had it was just hard work like you, Arif, just had some success as a lawyer. And there was no plan. I don't mind saying my age. I'm 58. I think you and I are about the same age. There was no plan to start a bank. You know, I had a really good career and as a lawyer, definitely had clients on both sides of banking, both on the creditor side and the debtor side, did lots of deals there, had some success in business. And both God and country gave me a calling to do this. And I don't say that lightly. Everyone always says, oh, I had a calling to do this. You certainly, Arif, had a calling, you know, after your incident as a cop to do what you did. I never really had a calling. I just always pursued business and opportunities. I had a calling to do this when I saw, like many people saw, what our banks were doing between canceling people. And I felt like in late 2021, early 2022, when we were putting this together, I was on an island talking about, no, the financial institutions really are canceling you for what you believe, not for what you do. Yes, banks and big banks really are sharing your data with the government and not under a subpoena or an enforcement, but because they just want to participate with that. And we got together. Like I said, it was a calling. I didn't want to do it. I had a great life. My wife had a great life. We have two healthy, thankfully, kids doing great. But just things kept coming together that I knew this is what we had to do. So fortunately, 30 years in law and business, I was able to basically call, hand-pick all of my friends and clients, many of them who had experience in banking, said, folks, whatever you're doing, God has prepared you. In this moment, we're stopping what we're doing and starting a bank. And it was just one after another, they said, you're right. And then we were able to get to John Rich, Larry Elder, Secretary Carson, and others. And each of them said, literally on the spot, you're right. We need to do this. So that's how we came together. And then, of course, we hired a bunch of smart banking people and tech people. I like to say that I'm fortunate that I am a head coach of 60 Tom Brady's. Everyone in this company is a GOAT. We've been together for two years, 60-plus people, only two people left the company. One person wasn't supporting the mission. Another person had a family situation. But everyone is passionate about this mission. And when you work with a group of people, you never try to take credit. You just want to do right for the customer and for the mission. It is amazing what you can accomplish. And I don't know many banks who went from zero to where we have in less than 1 year. And it's only because of the power.
Yeah, tell me about deposits, Mike. How many dollars in deposits?
Over $100 million.
And that's incredible.
In less than 1 year.
And in just a couple of years.
I'm sorry?
So here's my concern, my thought and my concern. Sorry, there's a bit of a delay, but I don't mean to cut you off. I want to find out about this. This is a big deal. The response so far to Old Glory Bank and the negativity you've received, I'm sure it's been some of it. Can you share any of it with us? How would you guys deal with it? What's the pushback, if any, you're getting?
Well, I actually have been surprised of the lack of hate. And I say that not going into this ready. I've, you know, people who Google me will see that I've had some success in boxing, of all things. And we had a lot of hate in boxing when we try to do something very special. One of my partners is Bill Schein, who used to run Fox News with Roger Ailes, went off and worked at the Trump White House, and his whole family was beat up on with hate. And he said to us, and he's a, you know, a big owner in the bank, executive chairman, and he definitely said to us that the haters are coming. I've actually been pleasantly surprised how little hate has coming. Now, we're just starting doing some more things, and we've only been at this for a year, and I think as we grow, it's going to come, but I don't care. When you have a compass of true north, and every day you are here to serve customers and provide the best product, they can hate all they want, and we're ready for it.
You know, I've always noticed that the pushback that I've received as I was growing and changing when I was younger, and now, the pushback that you receive, whether it's from coworkers or family or industry or friends, you know, listen, to be successful, sometimes you have to leave some of your friends behind, at least people you thought were your friends. It's the same thing in business, right? Sometimes clients come into my office. We don't allow masks in my office. I may have shared this on the air. I don't know if I have, but you can't come into a financial institution in my office and wear a mask. You scare people. We know that they're irrelevant. You can say whatever you'd like, Mike. You know, for a lot of other people, I don't expect you to take a stand on this on the air, but I decided that was that's what I was going to do. It's called courage. Sometimes we lose clients. Sometimes people leave. But we said, we're going to follow the science, we're going to make sense, and we're not going to follow the hysteria. Part of that for you guys, when it comes to banking, I think you're going to start to get severe pushback as you cross 150, 200, 250 million in deposits. Who knows, probably shortly, but as those deposits start to come through, I think you're going to see that, and investors, listen, JP Morgan Chase has gone after customers left and right, good customers, people that own businesses. They've given them 30 days, go find another banking relationship. You're like, what? I've been with Chase Bank for 40 years. Sorry, go find another relationship. Wells Fargo, the same thing. Go find another relationship. And they've done this for what, political reasons. They've done it because they don't want somebody who owns a gun store or a sporting goods store that happens to sell ammunition. They say, sorry, we're not going to be a part of this. Old Glory Bank doesn't cave to that, right? I mean, you guys can specialize with people that want to buy anything, and legal, that it's legal, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. We have two simple rules. And I remember when we first sat down with the regulators, they were all worried about our pro-America position. And they thought we actually would pick and choose who we'd bank with. And I said, no, just the opposite. We have two simple rules. Rule number one, we'll never cancel a law-abiding customer for what they believe, what they say, as long as they're law-abiding, as you said. And rule number two, and this one's important, when in doubt, see rule number one. And it's that simple. We don't pick and choose customers. We let them pick us. And the examples you gave about banks canceling people, like, what is next there? Is electric companies going to start canceling people they don't believe with? Are you not going to be able to go into a grocery store if you have a certain Yep. color hat on and buy food? And so I didn't want to do this. The calling I had, I said, if this group can cancel banking and payments, they win and we lose. And that's why I felt led and just had to do this. And what's even more scary, Arif and Jim Jordan from the House Committee, on March 6th, he released his first preliminary report. It's 56 pages. I encourage every one of your listeners, of course, after your great show is over, but every one of your listeners should go on and read those 56 pages. And the last 20 of them are actual emails between the FBI, FinCEN, which is a Department of Financial Crimes Network, part of Treasury, and major bank employees talking about how to get data on from customers. And it is disturbing. And I don't know how it's not getting more press. Please go read it. Wow. And what Bank of America did, and this is not me saying this, Bank of America did a data dump of every customer that used their card on January 5th, 6th, or 7th in D.C. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you believe in freedom of America, to think that a bank would do a data dump to the government because you use your debit card or credit card is crazy.
Is that incredible? You know, years ago when Google was coming out and saying that they were going to have this program where they were going to copy every single written word that has ever existed in the history of mankind. And it was a program for them to be able to copy all the great works, because the big library in Alexandria, Egypt, was destroyed, right? We know that there were books and works of art that through history for various reasons that have been destroyed. So their goal was to preserve all of these documents and the writings. And I was very for it. I thought it was a great idea. Today we know that that means that once they have it, they can suppress it. And you go, whoa, wait, if I want to search for that particular item, I should be able to just find it. Why do you suppress it? So what Google has done to, I don't know, the privacy, the freedom, I think the banking system is doing to our financial security. So that's pretty scary to me.
And it seems, and I think you hit the two industries exactly what we preach. For whatever reason, big tech and big bank has jumped on the side of government, and they've basically become the agents of doing what government can't do because of the Bill of Rights. And they are now freely suppressing, violating the First Amendment, which private companies technically can do, but the government can't, so the government gets their friends to do it, and supplying data and violating our privacy, which the government couldn't do because of the Fourth Amendment, but they're getting banks to do it. So it is, you know, when our framers put together this great Constitution and this great country and thought through this, I assure you they never thought that they'd have to, that companies would participate voluntarily with government to violate our rights. And it's just terrible that we've got here. And so we love being a part of what we call the freedom economy. We are pushing back. We're one of the great companies in there. I think we're the only bank that's really figured this out. And it is a mission, and we cannot fail and won't fail.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. Stay with me after the break, folks. I have Mike Ring. Michael Ring is the president, CEO. Is that title proper for you? Is there,
it is.
Tell me how we should call it.
But technically, president, CEO,
okay.
And coach.
President, CEO, head coach of Old Glory Bank. You've heard me talk about him before. Go ahead and stay tuned. We're going to have more with Mike Ring, Old Glory Bank president, CEO. I'm Arif Halaby. Stay with me after the break. 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. More from Old Glory Bank when we come back after the break. I'm Arif Halaby on AM870 The Answer.
The Total Financial Hour. Learn about financial power. The Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Halaby.
Learn about, hey, welcome back to the show. I'm Arif Halaby. 888-997-3847. That's 888-99-RETIRE. Talking about your family's finances, of course, getting out of debt, managing money. Always, well, we always have a interview or your emails on the second hour. We're blessed this time to have Old Glory Bank President and CEO Mike Ring talking about the Old Glory Bank. You've heard me talk about it. Many of you have come in. You've actually you've opened accounts and you've inquired. So, Mike, I want to ask you, continuing with some of our questions and what you're saying about the impact. Jim Jordan's report, 56-page report, dropped on March 6th during the break. I downloaded it to my iPad. I'll read it this week as I have time. I want to review a couple of things, though, Mike. It's easy to understand how smaller banks, okay, they've become an excellent resource for us small business owners. Well, I think, what do they make up? Somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3/4 or so of all small business lending in America, it comes from these community banks, local banks. How is it that since we try to reach with the bank that's in our community, does Old Glory start to allow small business loans? When will they do it? How will they do it when there isn't a branch down the street?
That is a great question. And I tell you, I'm, again, bragging on the team. I believe that we have done something in small business for online banking that has not been done. If you look at some of the great digital first banks like SoFi, You know, they're so big, they got a stadium named after them. Vero's a big one. Chime is on the challenger bank side, but they got 12 million customers, so they're definitely doing something right. I feel like no one has really been focused on that small business. And so when we got into this, we actually, in our own plan, never thought about doing small business until late 2024, maybe 2025. And as soon as we announced, we had folks reaching out to us, and we keep life simple at Old Glory Bank. If someone asks for something, we try to give it to them, and they kept asking for small business banking. And so we rushed, you know, we accelerated that effort, reallocated some resources, and launched, again, I think the best front end for online business banking. And what's interesting about business banking, it's a completely different architect than consumer retail, what you need. It's not a reskinned retail product. It's completely different because you have so many different requirements. You've got to be able to add people, remove people for access. You may want to put your CFO on the account. You may want to remove someone. You want an easy wire portal to send wires and ACH, make payroll. You want alerts. So if you're an owner of a small business, you want to be able to get notice if anyone is using an account or making a payment. And so we focused on that. And that traditional small business customer, as you correctly said, Eric, normally walked in and had that relationship. Well, we've done the same thing, but virtually. Our customers have a relationship manager, and they just talk to that person. That person knows the customer, what they need. And so we created the experience, but virtually. And thankfully, it's working well. We just launched it in late September, early October, and we already have 750 small businesses that have opened an account. You know, I would suggest most banks our size probably do 750 in 2 or 3 years. We did it in just a few months, and it shows the power of great technology and service aligned with the right missions and values that small business want. And so to your last question about loans,
we already
built out a team.
Yep.
And are ready to do loans.
Interesting. Okay. So listen, Old Glory Bank is part of something you've mentioned, how we can go into the different branches and walk in to the different stores, right? Well, I guess we would call them almost mini branches, or at least financial transaction locations, Walmarts, Dollar General, different locations, the Love's truck stops. That gives us the freedom along our journeys. If we're driving, if we're retired and we have an RV and we're going along the highway, again, there are locations in a lot of different places. Folks, let's compare and contrast that to banks that have filed to close over 1,500 branches last year. 1,500 branches is what they are closing. Now, you might say, oh, well, how many branches are there altogether? Or that seems like a small percentage. Let's just take 50 states and divide it, even though some states certainly have more that have closed. That's 30 branches per state. I mean, you understand how big of an impact this is, because really those branches are near population centers as well. So you have to think about this. If we are going away from the day that there's a branch down the corner, that brick and mortar with employee salaries, with the costs, it seems like the fintech slash financial bank on my phone, right? I mean, seniors are very concerned about banking on their phones. We see that. Sometimes they don't even have some of the smartphone systems. How do you address that? Is there any way to kind of combat that?
So we went into this with that perception as well, that the, I don't want to say older because, you know, but the more senior demo would not be comfortable banking on their phone. And we've shown just the opposite. In fact, we skew our dominant demo today is that baby boomer and Gen Xer, the group that you and I are in. And we definitely skew older, I think, for a couple of reasons. One is they like our values. They actually like the convenience of banking online. And you would think that, you know, as you get a little bit older, you may not want to go into that branch. You may not want to get in the car and spend that money on gas. And so they've actually been adopting. But we then did something else, knowing that our customer would skew older. And I got to give my wife credit for this. She's also a lawyer, but she runs our customer experience. She said, listen, if we're going to do this, we've got to have a call center on the first day. And I'm like, what? You can't have a little bank with a call center, a live-in call center in America with middle America people answering the phone. She said, we've got to do it. And so we did. And so we were probably the smallest bank on the planet when we did this. We only had 12 million assets when we started, 12 million in deposits. And we have a beautiful call center in Durant, Oklahoma, with people that love this country, love Old Glory Bank. They get to know the names of their customers. We probably get 200 to 300 calls every day. And I would suggest to you that generally are a little bit older on the older side. But we solve it with smiles and customer service. And our elder customers love us. In fact, so much, Arif, and I've never really said this publicly before, but so much so that if we ever did branch number 2 walk-in, it would actually be in the Villages in Florida, and we'd almost make it more of a meeting place for people who love Old Glory Bank, because we have, as you look at our heat map of where people are, our number one location on the planet is the Villages in Florida of our customers.
Well, I can imagine if you know, in my first hour of the show, I don't know if you heard it, but the traditional Democrat, the regular, even the worker bee Democrat today that still thinks that the Democrat Party represents them, right? That the RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Lieberman, traditional Democrats, they're not welcome in the Democrat Party. In fact, because they are liberals, you understand today's Democrat Party is not liberal. You don't have to comment on this, Mike. I'm going to lead us somewhere here in a minute. Today's Democrat Party is not liberal. They are dictatorial. They are more on the fascist side of things. Their goal is to control your speech, not allow free speech. So my thought is, as I lead to the question, the traditional Democrats who think free speech is important, who don't let their feelings dictate your actions, it seems like they would be flocking to a place like Old Glory Bank as well.
That is such a fair statement, and I will tell you, there are many people in our senior leadership that are what I call fair-minded Democrats. They're the Clinton, Bill, not Hillary, Democrats.
Yes, that's right.
And they are, or they're libertarian. This used to be the people who respected free speech, who used to fight for privacy rights. And now they've gone just the opposite direction. Can you imagine today, like Bill Clinton actually, who balanced the budget, worked across the aisle, said the days of big government are over, he would be a MAGA Republican today, and they would curse him. And that was just not that many
That's
years
right.
Ago.
They would say, you're a nationalist.
Yeah, we're going to have to you know, take away your car. You're not going to be able to bank at Chase anymore. And so it is amazing how far we've come. And I know for a fact that we have fair-minded Democrats that bank at Old Glory Bank, because we see all the card data, we monitor. We wanted, when we were trying to figure out where to put our cash in, we looked at where the most stores, we don't know on an individual basis, but on a group basis, we see where customers spend their money, and they are absolutely spending their money at ActBlue or contributing to Biden. And we know they're not spies. They just want free speech, and they want a bank that values their values.
Yeah, I think conservatives have always wanted, traditional conservatives, always wanted a fair playing field. As much as I hate the F word, and I call fair the F word because that's what we can do to, if I say it enough, I get to control you. So we're not a fan of the word fair. But if I'm using it in this context, the conservatives' world has always wanted a fair playing field. Now, I don't mean the clandestine services doing things behind the scenes in Angola or Rwanda or you know, Poland or Nicaragua. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people, me and you on the street, voting, local elections, etc. We don't feel like that's the case in California. In fact, the state of California is considered so repressive when it comes to free speech or voting, it actually falls behind some countries in Europe in the sense of free speech. So that's important. So if I speak with my money or a t-shirt that has a saying on it or a hat, I mean, it is now considered by the Supreme Court free speech and how you spend your money. And yet the left wing is okay with attacking it. You don't have to comment on that. But Mike, I'm going back to the world of being available. Old Glory Bank, I love it. It's not something I just like. I love it so much so. Yeah, I didn't talk about it for, I don't know, the first 6 months or so that I was a customer. And the reason was I wanted to experience it. I wanted a charge. I wanted to see what happened. Here's what's really impressive to me. I'll stand in line at the store and I'll use my Old Glory debit card or credit card. And as soon as I swipe it, before my bags are packed in the grocery cart or I'm carrying them out to the car, I get an alert. So tell me about that. I get an alert on my phone that says, hey, by the way, did you just spend, you know, $200 at XYZ store? Sure. Okay, no problem. Go on. But if not, it says, hey, there's a problem, right? It's a fraud detection.
Yeah, you are so right about that. We, you know, when we were putting this together, and again, a bunch of smart people behind the scenes, we looked at our competitor, not as Chase or Wells Fargo or Bank of America. We looked at it at Amazon, Uber, some of the best customer technology companies, Tesla, on the planet. And we said, what do they do that's well, and let's mimic our front end. Well, I always say, borrow from the best and make it your own. There's no pride in authorship at Old Glory Bank. We just want to do the best features. And so those are some of the simple things we do. So if you wear a smartwatch, it will immediately go to your watch and confirm that you did that charge. You can easily go into your app and pause your card. Let's say you accidentally left it somewhere. You don't want to cancel it and go through the hassle of getting a new one. Just pause it until you get it back, and then you turn it back on. We have some of the best features for kids and teens. Let's say you want your kid to have a bank account. Hopefully they get a job and earn their own money, and you want to protect how they spend it. You can go into their debit card, make it a joint account with the parent, go into their debit card and you into your app, and you can turn on and off certain merchants. So you could turn on gas stations and grocery, but turn off online purchases, turn off entertainment, turn off beauty salons, for example. And so the controls, remember, we haven't even been at this for a year yet, but the very first version of our app, we came with such power, thinking, what can we do for that bank technology experience? Service is what we strive. And then just another great feature about our card use, and to your point, let's say you're in your app, you see a charge, and you don't remember it. Let's say it's a Kroger charge. You don't remember going to Kroger. You click on that Kroger icon in your app, and it geolocates where that card was, and you can say, oh, yeah, I do remember I was there. And if you don't recognize it, that you weren't there, then you know that's not a good charge, and you got to call and start a dispute. So we just always work backwards from the customer experience.
Folks, I'm talking to Mike Ring, head coach is what he calls himself, president and CEO of Old Glory Bank. Full disclosure, guys, I was one of the original depositors. I didn't know anybody except Larry Elder. Larry had said, hey, listen, I started working with this bank. You should check it out and bank there. So I did. I opened an account. 6 months or so went by, and I contacted him, maybe a little more than that. And I said, hey, I'd like to maybe even invest some money. Is there still room to do that? So I did. So I'm a recent investor. I'm going to tell you, don't invest just because I did. Do your homework. Check with your financial professionals, your CPA, tax attorney, whoever you might have, your financial advisor. Make sure this is the right thing for you. If this is what you want to do, you do your own research, right? Just like any stock purchase, it can go up, it can go down. You're not going to do it with money you're going to eat dinner with tomorrow night. That's not what I did. It's money that I can afford to put out there, have it grow. And more important for me, when I tell you guys, you put your money where your mouth is. I tell you, you have to have courage. Courage costs something. Sometimes it costs money. I don't mean fake courage. I'm going to do a future show on that. So a lot of people are doing fake courage, right? We'll get into that. You see that all the time. Symbolism over substance. I'm talking real courage. When you invest real money. When you do make a real difference. These are important things for you to distinguish so that you can make a real difference. It's not a big deal. For me, it was being a part of something that stood up for my values. I have close friends that are on the left. I don't know anybody that is close to me that is on the left wing. Right? I just don't. I mean, maybe they're quiet about it because they know that there's no substance to their views. But when it comes to making a difference, it's how I chose to do it. You seek out your own professional advice. Speaking with Mike Ring. Mike, there is, I don't know, you said what, about 65 or 100 shareholders? I forget how many you said.
Yeah, today before last Friday, there was roughly 60, and they're all friends and family. Listen, I also like to say, as one of the co-founders and CEO, I'm not an OPM guy. I'm not one who believes in other people's money. I am the largest investor, my wife and I, in Old Glory Bank, and it ain't even close how much we have. And this is our,
yes.
When I say that this wasn't something, you know, we planned on doing, this something we had to do, and we went all in. And so failure is not an option at Old Glory Bank, not only for the country, but for the Ring family. But we prior to last Friday, we had around 60 folks, and then last Friday we dropped a press release, sent an email to our, you know, in addition to our 40-plus thousand customers, we have another 50 or 60,000 folks who have asked for information, so 100,000 people altogether in our fan base. And now, just since last Friday, accredited investors only, we have several hundred more people going through the process now of investing, and we make it very diligent. You got to watch I make you watch my 50-minute presentation where I say, like you just said, that, listen, we think this is going to work, but it may not. So this is not the bread. This is not the milk money investment. This is the, hey, let me put a little extra in something special. And then we have a 250-page PPM, and as a securities lawyer, this is what I know how to do as well, and make you read that, and then they become an investor if they want, and we make the entire process easy. I don't know if another company has even looked at doing this before, like pre-IPO, this public-private placement we're doing, but it seems to be getting off to a really big start, and I want to thank, you know, our fans and our customers and your listeners for what they do to support us.
You know, Mike, for me, it was a couple of things. One, it was you being involved, the way you are involved, and the history you have. Two, it was Larry Elder's credibility. Look, Larry Elder might have more money than a lot of people. I get it. But he's not a dummy, right? He's a lot of things, but he's not a dummy. He's a strong-willed person who understands that you have to put your money where your mouth is. He did. He took his career in radio, put it on hold to go after and fight for Californians in the governor race. You don't have to be that bold. You don't have to stand. I'm telling you to be courageous somewhere in your life. That's what this show is all about. It's about you standing up for what you believe in. It's standing up for democratic values, not Democrat values, democratic values, free speech, right? The right to assemble with who you want. Not have the banking system report who you are. That just drives me crazy. I cannot believe that Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, and many others just voluntarily released information for days prior. You could have been there visiting your son, your daughter. You could have been there just visiting the sites, not understanding that there was going to be a big protest. And all of your information was released. And many of them received a visit from the FBI. You're like, what are you talking about? Oh, we understand your cell phone. What do you mean cell phone? AT&T didn't tell me they were going to release this. Verizon didn't say they were going to release it. So the privacy that something like Old Glory Bank provides is real. Tell me about that. How do you guys retain, from a privacy standpoint, my information? I get it. Listen, money laundering, sex trafficking, drugs, bad, bad guys. Old Glory Bank is not one of those banks.
Exactly right. We are a law and order bank.
Quiet, Mike. Tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah, we are a law and order bank, Arif, and you are 100% right. We have 16 people who do nothing but chase away the bad guys and make sure they don't bank with us. And for a little bank, that is a lot of people, because we know that people are going to try to take advantage of our mission statement, not canceling law-abiding customers. But we have very strong, like there's no ESG or DEI at Old Glory Bank. It's simply PSL, PSL, privacy, security, liberty. And there's no back door into our system. The government, everyone always thinks, well, what stops the government from getting our data? I'm like, well, there's no back door. We're a closed, secure system where we control our customer data, and there is no way that we are ever going to give that data to the government. And if it's not an identifiable, suspicious activity or a supposed crime of identifiable people. But think that the government could call us up and say on an informal basis, hey, can you send me the name of anyone who ever used an Old Glory Bank debit card or credit card to buy something in the Second Amendment, the 2A space, a firearm? It would be laughable. Now, if we have information of a sex trafficking, a terrorist, money laundering, you bet we're going to do something. We don't want bad people to hurt good banks and good people. But just this broad-based data dump, please, people, you know, listeners, go in and read Jim Jordan's report. It is disturbing, and more people need to talk about it. And I don't want to create trouble with other banks, but I don't know how customers of Bank of America, I don't know how what Bank of America did not violate their privacy policy, their contractual privacy policy, because there certainly was no suspicious activity related to that data dump. I don't know how there's not mass lawsuits right now going against Bank of America for sending their data to the government.
There seems to be, there should be a class action lawsuit somewhere that it could, that can uncover all of these behind the scenes emails and who the person was that was in charge. And that's part of my argument with all of these meetings and congressional hearings, is they will redact the names. You have to go after these people. You can't just say the Department of Justice. No. You have to say lawyer Joe Smith, attorney, agent, assistant deputy, whatever. You have to say their name. You have to shame them, publicly shame them. Because then they're not going to hide under this like Lois Lerner and go out and just continue getting her pension after going after using the IRS as a weapon and going after conservative groups. You can't do that. But the left wing has controlled the government and the media space for a long time. Look, a lot of people are afraid. They just are. And I think partly the answer is to retain our small business anonymity and our business model without seeing if we're going to fall on the wrong side of these guys. You have something called Old Glory Pay. I love this concept and I love this idea. I think it's already in place to the point where Old Glory Pay is a competitor to PayPal. Explain what that is.
It's exactly right. We knew it wasn't enough to have consumer banking, wasn't enough to have business banking. In today's modern world, people want to transmit funds digitally. And that's different than digital currency. We could do a whole nother topic on that sometime. That's not what this is about. It's, you know, sending money to your friends and family through a very easy process. Now, PayPal, what they have done in canceling the Second Amendment to a firearm space, and what they and what other groups have done, like Stripe, when they canceled the campaign website financing arm of Trump, and then how they've done some other things. We said we had to have our own payment solution. So we came up with Old Glory Pay. It's a separate app. It's called Old Glory Pay. It's only for customers of Old Glory Bank. We keep it what we call closed loop, which means we're going to grow more slowly than if we opened up to other banks to it. It means that we've got to pull people into the Old Glory Bank ecosystem. Bank with us. Use Old Glory Pay. Merchants can accept Old Glory Pay just like they can accept PayPal, Visa, or MasterCard. And so we're going to build the community. It's not going to happen in a day. It's not going to happen in a year. It's a years-long process to build a community of freedom-minded Americans who transact their business with Old Glory Bank and who buy things with Old Glory Pay. And so for the merchant, if you're a little mom-and-pop website and you want to take Old Glory Pay, it's easy. Just open an account. One of our team members will help you set up how to accept Old Glory Pay on your website. If you have a little store, you can just put a little QR code next to your register where someone scans it with their app and makes a payment to you. And
so hey,
that's why it's so good for the
Mike. Yeah. We got to run. Listen, I want to tell you, folks. Mike Ring, Old Glory Bank. Go to your favorite search engine. Go to Rumble. Take a look and see what you see. I think you'll like it. Let me know what you think, Mike. Thank you for being a part of the show. We got to run.
Thank you so much for having me, Arif. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys. Arif Hallaby, the Total Financial Hour on AM870 The Answer. Have a blessed rest of your week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.